Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Yeah, we'll put Will on IR. Sign Miles Battle to the 53-man roster. We put AA on, put Alex Austin on injured reserve. Sign Bill Murray to the practice squad. Obviously, Thayer, he signed from Cleveland's practice squad, so. Just working through some moving parts here as we get to the middle part of our week with Monday night preparation and, you know, everything that we'll have to do to make sure that, you know, we've got 48 guys that all have a role and understand how they can help us win the game on Monday.
Welcome in to this Saturday morning show. It is usually the Ken and Curtis show, but if you did not notice, I am not Ken Laird. I'm John Lyons, and sitting across from me, it's not Chris Curtis, it's Dan Ball.
Morning, John. How are you?
Dan, I'm doing all right. You know, this is an interesting day in WEEI history.
Okay.
Because if I'm not mistaken, it is the one-year anniversary of you doing your first hosting show on air, right?
That's right, with nobody else but John Lyons.
Right, last year on Black Friday, so it's the one-year anniversary, and it's my first time ever doing the Saturday morning show.
No kidding.
Been here 2.5 years, and it's just never worked, you know, never worked out, but this is my first time doing the Saturday morning show, your one-year anniversary of doing a hosting show. And not only do we have producer David here, we have new producer Josh as well in training, so maybe we'll get him involved a little bit. So it's a big day in you know. A
lot of history being made.
Ken and Curtis took off for the weekend, and they just have no idea what's going to hit them come Monday.
No, you know, absolutely.
There's going to be so much hate mail and everything after the show.
Right, right. The Saturday morning revolt that's going on right now is very real.
Exactly. That was Mike Vrabel talking about, and that sound from a little earlier in the week, we all have heard it, right? Will Campbell going to IR, and Morgan Moses, Jared Wilson not practicing earlier in the week. And I wanted to play that, and I want to get into that because Patriots are only a couple days away now, Dan, from playing the Giants on Monday night.
Right.
And look, Giants are 2-10. They're not a good team. They fired their head coach. They fired their defensive coordinator. So I'm sure people out there are rolling their eyes saying, okay, come on, it's the 2-10 Giants. Like, let's get real. But I think there are pieces of this game, Dan, that are going to be difficult for the Patriots. Now, I'm not sitting here, and we're going to get to this next segment, Tommy Curran saying that they could lose 3 in a row here. I'm not going to go there. But I think if you're a Patriots fan like the two of us, how you look at this game, all right, I don't think they're going to lose. But there's real things in this game, Dan, that I think are going to give the Patriots problems.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair on the Giants, a couple things on that. Their 2-10 record does not nearly match what this season has been for them, where they've had 5 leads of 10 points or more that they just coughed up. It was the loss in overtime against the Dallas Cowboys kind of started it. That historic collapse in the fourth quarter against the Broncos, and the most recent one that you saw last week was in Detroit.
By the way, not to cut you off, Dan, sorry, but two of the top 5 or 6 teams in the NFL,
right?
They went toe to toe with,
right. Chicago, another team that's having a one hell of a renaissance that they had the chokehold on and then let slip. So that's the big reason why you see them fire. I couldn't believe they didn't leave Shane Bowen on the tarmac in Denver after they blew that lead, but they kept him around, and now everybody's gone. So not to say that they would be 7-5 if everything went right, but they're definitely closer to a 500 kind of team than we saw. But you pulled out the Will Campbell example, and I think that's the thing that everybody points to first, is the battle on the offensive line, specifically the left side of the offensive line, against Brian Burns, against Kayvon Thibodeau. Dexter Lawrence is possibly going to play on their defensive interior on Monday, coming back from injury. So I would imagine the first thing on your list as well is that offensive line protecting against some of the individual pass rushers for the Giants that have had very good years.
Yeah, and Dexter Lawrence, speaking of him, did not practice on Thursday or Friday. Same thing with Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll play, but it is an extra day off with the Monday game. And just to your point, I mean, Will Campbell, he hasn't been elite, but he's been really good this year at left tackle. For all the questions around him and, hey, do you want to pick him at fourth overall? Do you want to trade down? Are you worried about his arm length? Whatever, that a lot of people had. He's been really good this year. I mean, if you're into PFF, he's the 10th rated pass blocking offensive tackle in the league. If you just watch him, you know, we haven't said his name a lot.
No,
Dan,
he's a no news is good news player so far, except for the injury, which of course was news.
There's two positions in the NFL that if you don't say the guy's name, it's probably a good thing. One is offensive line.
Yep.
The other is corner.
Right.
Right. Because they're not throwing at you.
Right.
Right? So those are probably the two positions, and maybe you could throw safety in there, that if you're not saying their name, that actually means they're probably playing well.
Right.
And we really haven't said Will Campbell's name that much. Now, Myles Garrett had the 5 sacks in that Cleveland game, I know. But if you go back and look, one of them was him overpowering Jared Wilson.
Yep.
There was another one off the right side. And then a couple of them, and I'm not excusing Will Campbell totally here, but was when the Patriots put tight ends out there to double team with Will Campbell, and the double teams failed and didn't work.
Yeah, so, poor Jack Westover was getting kind of bullied on a couple of those.
Yeah, and of course the 508 texter says, Will Campbell sucks. Sorry, dude, just maybe you should watch the games. 25 pressures allowed and 426 pass blocking snaps. Pretty good.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he's at least a top half left tackle in the league. And yeah, I think given the naysayers that we heard during the draft, if you said he's 15th and above ranking, and you're talking about the different categories from PFF, wouldn't you have taken that?
And beyond the naysayers in the draft, Dan, like, just look at where they were last year.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the worst offensive line in the league last year. We sat here and said in the summer, hey, can they be 20th or 22nd this year? That would be huge. And they've essentially been there. Like, Garrett Bradbury, I think, has been average. You know, some good games, some down moments. Mike Onwenu's been pretty good. Morgan Moses has been really steady. I think Jared Wilson has really struggled at times, but he's had some good moments. I think those, ironically, those divisional games, that Buffalo game, I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
But he struggled, you know, a decent amount of times. But you have two rookies on the left side of your line, and you're much better than you were a year ago. You're not an elite unit. You're not a great unit. But you're much better than you were a year ago. And that leads me into, what is the one thing the Giants defense does well?
Rush the passer.
That's the one thing they do. Now, we talked about Dexter Lawrence being limited on the injury report. He does a good job pushing the pocket. Kayvon Thibodeau, limited, you know, or did not practice, I should say, on the injury report. Top five pick, right? But, excuse me, you look at the other guys, Brian Burns is second in the NFL in sacks.
Yeah, having a tremendous year.
And then Abdul Carter, top five pick. I mean, this is a guy that, yeah, okay, what's he got? 1 sack so far this year, but 35 pressures. So the sack numbers aren't there, but he's getting a lot of pressure.
Right.
And now you look at a situation where if I'm the Giants, I look at the Patriots and say, wow, okay, Morgan Moses left the game and then came back against the Bengals, had that illness issue, is limited in practice, not practice Thursday. Jared Wilson looks like he might be out, you know, not fully healthy. Will Campbell's definitely going to be out, so you're going to have maybe a not 100% Morgan Moses, and then a left side of the line that's new. Like, that's the recipe to trying to disrupt the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely, because the step that you take it past that is, okay, if you disrupt the offensive line, you're able to disrupt Drake May, and you're going to have to get to him early, John, because the secondary for the Giants is just atrocious. They allow the second most air yards of any defense in the league, and you know how good that Drake May has been, 20 yards in pass. He's got a completion percentage. It was right around 60%, might be a little bit under right now, but he's still been historically good on those deep completions. So if he's able to get enough time to get it out to Kayshon Booty, to get it to Matt Collins, to get it to somebody deep, Pop Douglas, then they're going to be able to get those X plays that they've been so successful with this year. So you're going to have to find a way to rush the passer consistently. What surprised me when I was poking around on the Giants defense is they're only league average in terms of pressure rate,
yeah,
the percentage in which they create hurries and quarterback hits. So I wonder, in a week's time, is the interim coaching staff replacing Shane Bowen. Are you able to squeeze a little bit more out of that pass rush? Because they really haven't taken advantage of the skill that they have in their defensive front the way that you would expect them to, given the names that they have.
And that's another piece of this, right? This is a Giants team that when the Patriots played them in the preseason, and I know it's the preseason, Giants actually put up decent fight in that game. They showed a little promise.
Yeah.
This is a much different team, though, than it's a different head coach, different defensive coordinator, and especially with the DC getting fired this week, Dan, if you're the Patriots, you don't fully know what to expect here, right? It could be, hey, they're just going to line up with that front four. Let's just assume Lawrence, Thibodeau, at least one of those guys plays, and just try to rush. But I could see them blitzing a ton, right? Are they going to play man coverage, zone coverage? Like, how much are they going to do? Because they've had a ton of injuries all over that defense.
Right.
Now a new coordinator, I think that's part of the challenge here is you really don't know what to fully expect from this Giants team. Again, a 2-10 team, a lot has gone wrong for them this year. But the one area right now where you're worried is the one area that they're good and you don't know what to expect. So again, I'm not sitting here saying the Patriots are going to lose this game, but I think the thought of, hey, they're going to walk out there, they're going to score 21 points in the first 20 minutes and, you know, run away with it, I think that's a little short-sighted.
Yeah, no, I the one thing you also have to consider in the offensive line versus your pass rushers is going to be an issue, but every other matchup that you can point to in this game is pretty severely slanted to the Patriots. I mean, they're the coverage in the secondary versus your wide receivers in your passing game is not close. The Giants have the second worst rush defense in the league, so if you can
believe,
get something,
Dan,
yeah,
last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed. They're allowing almost 6 yards per carry.
That
like
is,
the Patriots have sucked at running the ball this year.
Yeah.
If there's ever a week to run the ball well, it should be Monday night.
Right. I saw a graph floating around on Twitter a couple days ago. It was the EPA that's allowed for rush defenses in the league, and it was kind of the rest of the league, and then way down in the bottom left corner was the Giants. So they cannot stop the run. If you can get even just an average performance from either Travion or Ramondre Stevenson, who I think you'd like to see bounce back after a pretty rough effort against Cincinnati, that should be a way where you can eat up some chunks.
I do want to, you mentioned that Cincinnati game. With them throttling the Ravens on Thursday night, in your eyes, is that win on Sunday any better? Because like when we walked away from that, I'm like, all right, 26-20, and you really only scored 19 offensive points against a historically bad defense. It's like, Then they go and they throttle the Ravens, hold the Ravens to only 14. I mean, is that win any better in your eyes this past Sunday?
No, I'm not there yet. I think that something's going on with Lamar Jackson right now where I think he needs a week. This was his third different injury that he's had over a 3-week span. I think this week it was the toe, and he's had a couple other things that have kept him out. I think that was more friendly fire than anything else. Unfortunately, the kind of signature wins that the Patriots have had this year against Buffalo and against Tampa, those are aging like milk as the season goes along because neither one of those teams are performing as well as you thought that they would. So I would say no, but would you give it a little bit more credence?
Nah. Maybe 1% more.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
really, because I just think you look at especially the early part of that game, that was about the Patriots playing poorly more than anything else, right? Maiden play well early,
yeah,
through the pick six. Obviously, recovered, played well, but then you not scoring on all those goal line plays. Like, and you can say, hey, the fourth down shotgun run, like, I didn't like that call either, but like, how many times can your offensive line not get 1 yard?
Right,
you know what I mean? Like,
right.
How many times can that happen? And you complete a pass and commit a bad penalty on Mac Hollins' pick play there,
yeah,
on the touchdown for Henry. So I don't really look at it better. I will say, I think the Bengals are getting better. I mean, it's weird because they're, a 4-8 team, so it's a weird thing to say. But especially, too, that game at the Patriots, there was no Joe Burrow in that game. There was no Ja'Marr Chase. So I it's tough for me to look at that any differently. Now,
yeah,
if the Bengals win out and they somehow make the playoffs at 9-8, which I think is pretty unlikely, then maybe I'll go back and say, hey, maybe that Bengals win was a little bit better than I thought it was at the
wasn't
time.
Wasn't just a fluke or, you know, your defense had the right scheme. I will say they played, I was reading up on this from Greg Bedard, that they played considerably more zone defense than they do on average. Say it's 25%, they played 40%. So I do wonder, to your point about would the Giants change over their defensive scheme at all, it did seem like the zone coverage they were playing, especially in the first quarter, was giving Drake May and the passing offense just a little bit more of those fits that you don't usually see from them.
And to that point, I talked about this with Mego yesterday morning. I think if the Patriots want to have success offensively in this game, like, the obvious answer is, yeah, they have to run the ball.
Yeah.
But passing game-wise, go back and look at Week 1, 2019 against the Steelers.
Okay.
Great pass rush. Patriots had some new offensive line. I think that was Isaiah Wynn's first regular season start. They went five wide a bunch, spread them out. Ball was out of Brady's hands in 2 seconds. They also did a bunch of play action. I think you'll see a similar game plan against this Giants team, at least early on, and kind of feel it out.
I'm not overly worried about this one.
Yeah, I'm not either. I just think.
But you do feel you seem to see the same level of pessimism that I do. There's more people that are more worried about this matchup than I think I would expect. Just if you look at 10-2 versus 2-10.
Right, and I think again, Patriots should win this game. I'm not like really worried, quote unquote, per se. But I just think there are things here that maybe will challenge the Patriots more than if the Patriots are fully healthy.
Sure,
it was a
sure.
Typical week. We got to get to trending. I see some of you on the phone lines and text lines. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to an interesting quote from Tommy Curran about the Patriots schedule coming up, including this Giants game we want to get to from there. But before we do any of that, it's time to trend with David Azer.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I would be surprised if they lose three in a row. I don't expect them to, but I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if they lost to the Giants.
Wow.
Ooh.
I would. Scale of 1 to 85, Keith.
Oh, 84.
80.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Two? Something
yeah.
like that.
Giants
yeah, okay.
Are,
so
Giants
wow.
are rough.
So, wow. Okay. So you don't.
I don't expect it. Again,
no,
I don't expect
you just wouldn't be surprised.
It.
I got it.
So when whatever friend of mine retweets that.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, clip that. Yeah.
He aggregates it.
Don't quote his quotes.
Don't quote his quotes.
Little bit of a shot. Just a tad. God forbid. Didn't say it. It's just Jones and Keith and Curran talking.
Back here on the Ken and Curtis show. I'm not Ken Laird, though, as we mentioned earlier. I'm John Lyons, alongside Dan Ball.
You know, I get mistook for Ken on the air every now and again. People say we have similar voice patterns.
Okay.
Which I think is a compliment. I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
He's had a good radio
yeah.
career.
Yeah.
Anyways, not to distract from the point.
He runs the station, so let's compliment.
That is helpful. Yeah. I'll take his paycheck.
Oh. 617-779-7937. That is the phone line and the text line. We see some of your texts here, some calls as well. We'll get to all that in a little bit. There are some people that are not happy with Will Campbell so far this year. I think he's been good. I don't know.
Did we all watch the same team last year?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's an all-pro. I would say that he's a drastic improvement.
Yeah.
And he's also the year before. Kind of carrying maybe a bit strong, but Jared Wilson is not a left guard by nature. I feel like he's kind of playing out of position and is the one guy, if you went and said, let's replace somebody with somebody better, that would be the left guard spot. So I don't know. I find it hard to complain given the teams in the O-lines we've watched recently.
There's a 401 text who kind of mentioned something that you said earlier, that the Giants could easily be 7-5. And look, we're not trying to overrate the Giants here. We're just saying they're not your typical 2-10 crappy team that just sucks and isn't going to show up.
No.
They're not that.
And they're getting Jackson Dart back from concussion, which changes things pretty drastically. I will say Jameis Winston performed admirably. He played them into two close games, but I'm wondering how they deploy Jackson Dart and if he's going to be as aggressive running the football as he was when Brian Daboll was calling his plays. I'm very curious about that because the Patriots didn't handle Justin Fields great. I mean, he couldn't throw the ball, but they weren't great at handling him when he was running, so I'm watching that matchup specifically.
Now, that Curran sound, if he wouldn't be surprised if they lost those three games. Now, that was obviously before Baltimore got throttled on Thursday night, so in fairness. But this next stretch, you have the Giants, then a bye week, then the Bills, then the Ravens. Look, I look at this stretch, and then, of course, after that, you know, the Jets and Dolphins, two teams I think you should beat.
Yeah.
This is probably the last, if you want to call it, especially with the Bills and Ravens, difficult spot of the year before the playoffs. I think the big factor here for the Patriots is injury, and I'm not saying just injuries, but you're going to be without Milton Williams in these games, who's mm-hmm. been your best defensive player this year before he got hurt.
Right.
You're going to be without Will Campbell, without Jared Wilson, at least I think for a couple of these games, maybe all three of them, so we'll see. So I think this stretch coming up is going to give us, you know, some more answers about the Patriots in the sense that what was our biggest concerns in the summer? It was the offensive line. It was the receiver group. And I think at least for me personally, Dan, I don't know about you, it was depth on the roster.
Oh, that was number one out of one for me.
Yeah, and I think when you look at our concerns from the summer, it was, hey, they have good starters at a lot of these positions. Like, hey, they have Robert Spillane at linebacker. They have Hunter Henry at tight end. They have Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson at running back. They have, you know, Will Campbell and Morgan Moses at tackle. Like, they have these pretty good starters. Obviously, Gonzalez and Davis at corner on the outside. But then it was, okay, well, what do they have beyond those guys? Like, at linebacker, what do they really have beyond Robert Spillane? And Jack Gibbons has had some good moments this year. I'll give him credit.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of depth there. At tight end, Austin Hooper, I think, is a pretty good journeyman guy. But, I mean, beyond Hunter Henry, you don't have a ton of depth there. And now on the offensive line, I mean, Vidarian Lowe is going to be your starting left tackle.
Yep.
If anything happens to him or Morgan Moses, the next guy up is Marcus Bryant,
right,
who is a late round draft pick out of Missouri last year. By the way, tackle with long arms, rookie. How about that?
What a concept. And perform well during the preseason, earned himself a roster spot over veterans.
Did.
But do you want him starting key games for you?
And he's a guy that I think even in the preseason, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's earning a role, but he probably needs a year of development. But now he's the next guy up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the situation where their depth is really going to be tested at this point. You even look at the receiver group, which has been much better than a year ago. We saw in the second half of that Falcons game when Kayshon Boutte got hurt, Patriots really couldn't move the ball in the second half of that game.
Right.
And they were better after that against Tampa. They kind of were able to scheme around it, but they had a little trouble recovering, at least in the game that it happened. So now is the point where these three games, again, the Giants, we talked about them last segment. You missed any of it. Odyssey app is free. Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. WEI.com. You can listen as well. We talked about how the Giants, yeah, they're not a good team, but they can present some problems. Buffalo has been inconsistent this year, and they've stumbled, but that's still Josh Allen.
Right.
It's still a good offensive line. It's still got legit playmakers on defense. Like, that's still it's not a maybe great team like it was last year in the year. That's still a good team.
And there's something about beating a team in the division twice. Division games are just, they're kind of bizarre. There's not a ton of nuance to that point, but there is something about sweeping Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills in two consecutive games that just feels kind of improbable. I mean, the matchup would still suggest you the Patriots should have the edge, but you're really going to beat Josh Allen twice and then potentially have to face him a third time in the playoffs? It does feel a little uneasy that they're seeing each other again.
You know what's been kind of weird is that since Tom Brady left, the Patriots have actually played the Bills better in Buffalo than they have at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, how about that?
Like, if you go back to, and we don't have to relitigate the whole thing, but you go back to 2020, Patriots lose a close game in Buffalo and then get their asses kicked on Monday night at home against the Bills.
Right.
2021, they win in Buffalo, then lose by two touchdowns at home. Right, like so, and then, of course, 2023, they beat Buffalo here, lost to them there. But this year, now they beat Buffalo there.
And you still haven't lost on the road this year.
Yeah.
Knock
so,
on wood.
And they've been a really good road team.
Right.
So I expect Buffalo to come in here, and that could end up being the Patriots' toughest game of the year. And I know they've already gone to Buffalo, so that might sound counterintuitive. But the Bills are going to be, and I don't want to call them desperate, but they're going to be the more desperate team. They're still good. They've played well at Gillette Stadium since 2020. That's going to be a really difficult game, I think. And to your point, to beat a team as good as the Bills twice in 1 year, that in itself is an uphill battle.
And Buffalo has Pittsburgh on the road this week. Then they get the Bengals at home, and then they get you in that three-game stretch. So you're playing two teams that are also fighting for their playoff lives and their bits of relevancy on the AFC North just as much as they are. So there is a good chance that they're playing a game against you in which they are fighting for their season for one of those final wild card
617-779-7937. Some people on the text line, somebody of 978 says, you say the Bengals win is 1% better after Thursday night. They say it's 25% worse if Burrow and Chase play, the Pats lose by 10. It's an interesting perspective, and I think it leads me to, as we get into this stretch, and I know they have the bye week in between, which I think is coming at a key time. The Patriots are not playing their best football right now of the season, right? I think their best football so far they've played was the Panthers win, followed by the Buffalo win, followed by the Saints win, and then that Titans game where they blew out the Titans. And you could throw the Browns. Like, that stretch, that month, I think that was the best football they've played this year. You look at the last few weeks, and look, they're winning. I'm not trying to be that usual sports radio a-hole here. But, like, if you just look at the last few weeks, okay, Tampa, I thought that was a great win, arguably their best win of the season. Since then, though, the Jets, I thought, offensively, they had some really good moments, but didn't play well at the end of the first half in that game, missed a field goal. Defensively, they were good, but not as good as I think you were kind of hoping
almost,
in that game.
Almost a little lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Almost a little, we're playing the Jets. Do I really need to give you everything I have? Christian Gonzalez.
And then against Cincinnati, I thought they really, offensively, the first 20 minutes of that game or so, might have been their worst 15, 20 minutes of offensive play all year.
And some of the worst passes that Drake May has thrown all season. He even said on Monday to the afternoon guys, the throw that he put between, I think it was Ramondre and Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
He even said, my throw to Ramondre / Hunter. Like, he even recognized that he kind of split the goalposts on that one. So, yeah, there were a couple that sailed on him big time.
And some of this could be injuries. Some of it could be fatigue, too, because they have a late bye week, which kind of sucks, right? So they have the mini bye week after the Jets game, and then they come out flat early against Cincinnati, and of course they end up winning. Great. You know, they in defense made the key stops at the end. The defense got a pick six and made the key stops at the end. I know they gave up points on their first drive again. Now they go into a Giants game. They have a little extra rest for the Monday night, then a bye week. This is a good opportunity for them to reset after this Giants game, because we just talked about that Bills game coming out of the bye week. Yeah, you coming out of bye week. That is going to be a really difficult game.
Yeah,
coming out of the bye week. And then you follow that up with a Ravens team that I called Atlanta the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL when the Patriots played them. I think that honor has to go to the Ravens. Right? Opening night, they're up 40-25 in Buffalo late in the fourth quarter. Find a way to lose.
Yep.
They lose a Monday night game at home against Detroit, 38-30. Start out 1-5. Lamar Jackson's hurt. They rip off 5 wins. They're 6-5. They're going into Thanksgiving night, and you're like, hey, Joe Burrow's good, but he hasn't played in 2 months. T. Higgins is out. Ravens are at home. They're playing well. They can go to 7-5, maybe get back in the driver's seat towards winning that division.
Right.
And they go up 7-3. I know it's early, but then they get their ass kicked the rest of the game. And that game, that could have been worse. Like, the Bengals, what was it, their first 4 red zone trips, they got 0 touchdowns. I think only 6 points or whatever. Like, that game could have been worse than 32-14.
Right.
Jackson had the turnovers as well. So that is the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the league. But what worries me about that game is it's still a Ravens team that has Lamar Jackson, and the Patriots had a lot of trouble defending Justin Fields' legs.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's a much better version of that. It's still Derrick Henry. It's still Kyle Hamilton. It's still Roquan Smith. It's still, like, there's still a lot of good pieces on that. Right now, we'll see what Ravens team shows up. But I think you can look at this stretch both ways, Dan. Like, yes, this is going to be a difficult stretch, I think, of 3 games. But if the Patriots go 2-1 in this stretch, or 3-0, we're going to sit here and say, wow, this team could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think at least get there. You know,
a lot of the people that are trying to call them, I don't know, fool's gold. You want to throw that term around? I've heard that used pretty popularly the last week or so. It's going to kind of take a lot of the doubts away. Why?
So I've spent the last like 2 days talking on the station about those Cam Newton comments. I don't want to talk about them anymore, which is why I didn't put them in the rundown I sent you. I was like, but I think it is really unfair to call them fool's gold. Like they're good. Now you can sit here and say, all right, they're not as good as the Rams. I would worry about them, you know, if they actually had to play. Let's say the Chiefs, who are now 6-6, made the playoffs though, and it's May's first playoff game against Mahomes and Reed. Like you can maybe talk me into that and be like, hey, that might get, or hey, you know, if you like the Colts and think they're good, sure, or that Broncos defense could really get, like, those are all fair points. But to call the Patriots fool's gold, I think, is really ridiculous and unfair. Like, this team, I mean, we're talking about a team that's seventh in the league in points per game on offense. They can score defensively, not great, but much better than they were a year ago, much better in situations than they were a year ago. The quarterback's an MVP candidate. Like, I know it makes for entertaining radio, and Cam Newton got a lot of attention for that.
Yeah.
I think that's wildly unfair to call them fools.
Well, the argument that will be presented back to you on that, and we don't need to go any further than this, is, well, who have they played? What stage have they played on? And what will your second-year quarterback and a bunch of young players do when the stage is the biggest? You're potentially playing at home against one of those good teams that are sitting in the wild card right now. So I understand the reasoning behind it for somebody who's trying to poke holes in this team, but, I mean, you're 10-2. You got the most wins in football. Like I understand why somebody would go there. I would not go there along with them. But couldn't you see a potential early exit just given the lack of experience in that kind of situation?
I'm glad you brought that up because you co-host with a guy who was on the 2001 Super Bowl team.
That's
and a
right.
lot of people have compared this team to 2001. And I disagree with that. I think this team is much more like the 2010 or 2011 Patriots. And this is why I say that.
Okay.
You go back to 2010, arguably Tom Brady at the height of his powers, 39 touchdowns, 4 picks, unanimous MVP, Bill Belichick, best coach in the league. Well, right now, you don't have Brady and Belichick, but you have an MVP quarterback and a coach of the year candidate head coach.
Sure.
What I look at, though, is the rosters beyond those guys. That 2010 team relied on a boatload of young guys. Devin McCourty was a rookie. Patrick Chung was in his second year. Gronkowski and Hernandez were rookies. Sebastian Vollmer was in his second year. There was a ton of young guys there, and they had some veterans. They had a second-year tackle and then a veteran tackle in Matt Light.
Right.
Much like this team has a veteran tackle in Morgan Moses and a rookie tackle in Will Campbell. But that team was relying primarily on young players. You could throw Brandon Spikes in there as well at linebacker to be key contributors. This team is in a very similar spot. I mean, yes, they have Diggs and they have Moses, but even Christian Gonzalez, only in his third year. Craig Woodson is a rookie. Right? Will Campbell, rookie. Jared Wilson, rookie. A lot of young guys. Travion Henderson, rookie. You're relying on a lot of young guys, a lot of unproven guys to be the difference maker for you in the playoffs. And if you go back to how that 2010 season ended, they got the one seed. They had a home game in the divisional round. One of those young players, Patrick Chung, messed up a punt call. They messed up a punt. Jets go up 14-3, end up scoring another couple touchdowns, winning that game 28-21. And that Patriots team that was so young, a lot of those guys just weren't quite ready for the moment.
Right.
And then they ended with an early exit. Now, the silver lining there is a lot of those guys I mentioned, Chung, McCourty, Gronkowski, Vollmer, were big pieces on the 2014 team that won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
So they weren't quite ready for the moment in 2010 and 2011, but by 2014 they were. And this team reminds me a lot of that because that 0-1 team that your colleague Ted Johnson was on, a lot of those guys, and I know Brady was new, I know Belichick was new here, but a lot of those guys were on the 1996 team that had gone to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of those guys had
a lot of guys
experience.
That had done some decent winning regular season and playoffs.
Exactly. And that team had made the playoffs with Pete Carroll as well. So there was a lot of guys there that had either been to a Super Bowl, played in a playoff game, whereas this team, again, 2010, it's, you know, second-year tackle, bunch of rookies, young guys you're relying on, moments a little too big in the playoffs. This year, that I see the roster in a very similar place.
I think it's a great comparison, and the reason why it makes me so nervous about a potential playoff game is you have all of that youth that you can compare to 2010, plus they had Brady and Belichick, who had been doing it for the better part of a decade, and they still weren't able to overcome that. So I would that's what makes me worried about a potential home game that you get in the first round. But it's also a successful season regardless of if that happens. I don't know if that qualifies as fool's gold.
Is the season already a success?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree.
It has to be. And I would have argued the same thing about the Red Sox season, even though they lost in the first round, that the steps that you took are even more drastic than what the Red Sox saw. It's far and away a successful
year. Let's say Patriots go 1-4 the rest of the way, lose in the first round of the playoffs. They're 11-6 to the playoff loss. That's still a success. I mean, we're talking about a team that won 8 games the previous 2 years. And that's where, too, like I compare it to 2010. 2008, Matt Cassel started, Brady was hurt. 2009, the Patriots went 10-6, got blown out in the first round of the playoffs. That was the 1 year in the dynasty where you're like, these just guys aren't quite as good as they were before.
Yeah.
And then they bounce back the next year and have a great season, and the Ghosts move on, win 3 more Super Bowls. Point being, this season, given where you were the last few years, you can sit here at 10-2 on November 29th, and it's already not only a success, Dan, I think for the most part, exceeded the expectations of everyone.
Oh, drastically. I know that Brian Hoyer had somewhere between 8-11 wins, and Taylor Kyles wrote that there were 13 winnable games on the schedule, but most people that you spoke to
said... I had them at 9, personally.
Okay, yeah, and everybody on our show in the afternoon had either 7 or 8, depending on who you asked and what day you asked. So it's not only a success just because you have 10 wins. It's a success because you've solved the quarterback position, you solved the coach... I think you've solved the coaching staff. I don't think McDaniels is going anywhere. I think another team would be crazy to hire him unless he goes to college. So you have your coach, your offensive coordinator, your quarterback. I think you've solved a bit of your offensive line and a bunch of other spots on your roster. So you have a plan for the future versus, all right, we're going to kind of get into this, but we don't really know who's going to be the man for the next 10 years and that kind of thing. So you have such a good roadmap in front of you. That's even a bigger success to me than the wins that you have on the schedule.
And that's why I think we're in the middle of it now, right? We're week 13, 10-2. But I think it's helpful to zoom out a little and say, okay, Mike Vrabel was hired, 11 months ago? And now we're sitting here at 10-2. They are not only on the right track, they're already ahead of schedule. Now, that doesn't mean they're at the final destination, right? They're not Super Bowl yet.
Yeah.
But that's why, again, and I know I keep going back to this, Dan, that's why I go back to that 2010-2011 team. Like, those teams had some flaws. They relied on a ton of young players, but you could sit there and say, okay, these guys, they're on the right track. They're ahead of schedule. This is the next iteration of what the Patriots are going to be. And what happened? 2011, they go to the Super Bowl, lose a close game. 2012 and 13, go to the AFC Championship game. 14, they win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, and I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year, but it just feels like they're on that track. And with so many young guys, I think that's really encouraging. Because think about it, how many times have they had young guys come in the last 5 years and not contribute?
Oh, go back and look at the draft class. It's carnage in there.
And I'm only going to, because Chris Curtis is not here, mm-hmm. I'll only make one reference to Bill Belichick. Okay.
Nice.
If the Patriots had drafted well from 2017 through 2022, him and Jordan Hudson would still be here. Okay. That's
sure.
Really what it comes down to.
Right.
So my point is, though, they have young guys that are actually contributing. Now, we can sit here and say, hey, Will Campbell hasn't been perfect yet. Jared Wilson's been up and down. Travion Henderson has had some amazing moments, but hasn't consistently put it all together. Kyle Williams isn't there yet. Craig Woodson's been pretty good. Like, we can, but they're all contributing. Even Christian Gonzalez, again, arguably the best player on the team. He's only in his third year.
Right.
And it's really like year 2.5, if you think about it. He only played 4 games that rookie year because he got hurt. So he's still, even him, this guy that we look at is this all-pro, he's still a young player. DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty are only in their third year. And Kayshon Booty, it's his first year being a real contributor outside of a couple touchdown catches last year. So the fact that all these young guys are performing, I think, is really, really encouraging to me, Dan.
So to put a bow on it, are the Patriots capable of losing the next 3 games?
Capable, yes. I don't think they will.
I don't even really think they're capable of it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think they win Monday night. I just think it's a closer game than people want to admit.
Yeah.
I think they in the Bills and Ravens, I think they split. I think they win one of those games. I think they lose the other.
And I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and I could see that Ravens game being the one. And I know the Ravens, again, just got their ass kicked on Thursday night. I get it. But that's probably going to be a Sunday night game, flexed. You're going to be on the road in Baltimore. And it's the thing about Lamar Jackson, and I know he struggled a little, but it's one thing to watch him on film, one thing to practice against the scout team. And we saw the Patriots in 2019, an undefeated team, went to Baltimore on a Sunday night, and it was like, holy crap, we got to keep up with this guy.
Right.
And it's just one of those things. You got to see it in person,
yep,
and defend it in person before you really stop it. So I think in these next three, I think they're going to go 2-1, and I think we're going to sit here, and they're going to be 12-3, and we're going to be like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Right.
That's what we're going to be take away from it. So he is Dan Ball. I'm John Lyons. Stick with us here on WEEI. We'll be right back.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Back here on WEEI. All those people, owners of broken hearts, that it's not the Ken and Curtis show today. It's the Lions and Ball show.
I'm heartbroken.
I'm not, because I'm here and I'm working on the radio. So, Ken and Curtis, feel free to take any Saturday off. I like this shift.
Take the rest of them off.
Yeah.
You guys earned it.
Yeah. Lions and Ball show on Saturdays, replacing Ken and Curtis. You know what? They need to stay home on Saturday mornings. They work hard enough.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with that.
That's how I'm going to frame it in the presentation.
I agree with that. There you go. Checks in the mail from the boss man.
If you haven't heard, David Azar is the producer today. David, what's up?
What's up, John? How you doing? How's your Thanksgiving?
You know what? I was saying this to Dan off air, and this is not an exaggeration. So I had Thanksgiving dinner. We host at my house, and I love hosting because we get all the leftovers, or pretty much all the leftovers, right? So I had Thanksgiving dinner yesterday, Thursday, with desserts. I had another Thanksgiving dinner on my own yesterday with desserts. I am so full, I did not eat breakfast this morning. Like, I have not eaten since, like, 5 p.m. yesterday. Like literally, I'm not exaggerating. Like, I had a piece of pie at 5. I had, like, Thanksgiving dinner, too, at, like, 3 or 4 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, dessert at, like, 5 or 6. I had a little, I haven't eaten since.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I forced myself to have a granola bar this morning, and I, like, couldn't eat all of it.
It's the worst part of the holiday is the fast that comes on the weekend, just trying to reset yourself.
Worst part, stepping on the scale afterwards.
Well, yeah, that too. Take me through your plate.
Okay, so, turkey.
Okay, sure.
My mom's mashed potatoes, not to brag, that's best mashed potatoes out there. So I get a big helping of those. Stuffing,
yep.
A roll, and then some sort of vegetable. Maybe it's corn. Maybe it's like my aunt might make green beans or something, or carrots, something like that. That's my plate.
Solid.
For the first time. When I get seconds, though, it's just turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing with the gravy.
Yeah, you just get the core stuff.
I'm not eating vegetables twice.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that twice.
I do love the corn and mashed potatoes combined. The corn with the butter sauce, it just comes in like the bag that you
freeze.
And
you put the gravy on the corn too, everything.
Just put the whole thing together like Boston Market used to do the bowls where you put all that stuff together. Fantastic.
And in addition to David, we have a new producer here today. Why don't you introduce yourself?
What's going on? My name is Josh. I don't know what shift this is. This is probably like my eighth shift like this, but this is my first time talking.
Wow.
On
usually
here,
people talk when they're like a year old or something or 2 years old.
Got a good command of the English language for a first time talk.
Wow.
Long time listener, first time talker.
First time talker. There you go, Dan. That's pretty good. So, Josh, there's a fun fact I learned about you concerning one of the other producers here at WEEI.
Yeah. So for people who know, he's known here as College Tom.
Well, now it's Real Life Tom.
It's Real Life Tom is what I've heard now. For people who know Real Life Tom, Real Life Tom is my college roommate. I've known him for about 3.5 years. He's actually one of the guys who got me this job. He kind of, threw my name out at Ken and, So I've known him for 3.5 years. We've had our own show. So I've had my own run in with him. So me and him kind of just go way back. And if you ever need, I said this off air, if you ever need an embarrassing story on him, I can hook you up, and he could probably do the same with me too. So whatever I throw out there, he can definitely just fight it back.
Give me a grade for Real Life Tom as a college roommate.
I'd honestly give him an A.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. That's high praise.
You know what? I'm happy to hear that because I like Tom.
Yeah.
But if you had been like, oh, I give him a D-, he never washed his dishes or something, I would have changed my opinion on him.
Yeah.
The standards weren't very high, so we lived in a suite of 6 guys for 2 years.
Oh, God.
And so the other 4 guys, we had multiple roommates, but we had 4 guys, and they were all kind of, messy. Would sleep in all day, not really do much cleaning. Tom was probably the cleanest guy out of the 6 of us.
That's good to hear. So now I can still like Tom. That's good.
You can still respect Tom.
Yeah. And we also, if Josh does anything bad or screws up at all, it's really Tom's fault.
Because
absolutely. As he said, Tom got him the job.
Yeah.
So it's really...
It was his recommendation. Yeah.
Tom, it's Tom's fault.
You can blame him because at our old college station, he was the station manager. I was the program director, so I was technically one step below him because he always loved to brag about how he was my boss.
Ah.
So again, if I ever do anything wrong, you can blame it on my boss.
Perfect.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. We'll blame it on Tom. So that's cool. Interesting. Well, Josh, welcome in. Pleasure to have you here. You know what? Before we go to break, do you have any burning takes, Josh, you want to get out there?
Of anything?
Of anything. Well, you can't swear on the radio.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, God.
I'll give you one on my behalf, on your behalf, if you don't have one ready.
Hit me.
I think everybody should retake their driver's test every 10 years.
All right. Can I give you something? Can I give you? This is a real. I've been thinking about this for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that I don't know if it's a conspiracy, or it's collusion.
Okay.
Or it's the deep state.
Okay.
Or what? Some of the worst drivers on the road, nearly all of them, work for Uber and Lyft. When I get cut off.
Yep.
When somebody stops short, when someone's at a stoplight and it turns green and they don't go, when I see a car with a bunch of dents on it and they give me the middle finger, 9 times out of 10, there's that little sticker on the back of the windshield that says Uber or Lyft.
It's a good take.
Like, does Uber and Lyft not vet their driver? They say they do, but I'm just telling you what I see in the world. Some of the worst drivers on the road, and I've had some wonderful Uber drivers, don't get me wrong, but 9 times out of 10, when I see a driver cut me off, give me the finger, do any of those, doesn't go at a stoplight, whatever, they work for Uber and Lyft.
Now, do you have a good Uber rating?
I do, yeah. I honestly don't ride Uber that much, but I've had, personally, when I've ridden in Ubers, I've had good experiences. I've just noticed that when I'm driving and I see Ubers around, I think they don't really vet all the people they hire.
I would guess it's, have you, committed a serious crime and do you have a license? In past that, I would imagine the barrier for entry.
Yes.
Right.
You're
and here you go. Here's your sticker. Yeah. And if you're looking at 12 o'clock, you can put your phone at 11:30. So it's right in your eyesight, but you can see the map, but also not be looking at the road.
Yes. It's a huge problem. Like, really. And I think, you know what it is too? All the good Uber drivers, it makes them look bad.
Yeah.
And all the good, because there are plenty of good ones. These folks make them look bad.
Right.
I'm like, man, I don't. Anyways, we were going to talk about the Bruins in this segment. We just didn't. Yeah.
Hey, they're in a playoff spot. 77% of teams since the NHL adopted the wild card format that are in a playoff spot on Thanksgiving Day make the playoffs.
By the way, if you missed it this morning, one other thing before we go to break. Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, that's great.
Solid.
Like, I listened to it on my way, and I've listened to it a handful of times since it became a show, but today on my way in, I listened to almost the entire show.
Yeah.
That's great content.
There is just, there's a certain tone of hockey guys talking about hockey, and it's just, for somebody who grew up playing the game, Brad, it's just, it soothes the soul for me.
Certainly does. And now, though, I want to get to, the Red Sox made not the biggest move of the offseason, but you could say the first big move of the offseason in the Sonny Gray trade. We're going to dive into that, the Red Sox offseason in general. That's all coming up here on the next hour of the Lions and Ball Show.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.